Shaiva Padambuja Bhakti Lavya Prima Vidana Parama Pumarta Tasmai Mahajan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Marasya Maru Sanchara Kinangam Gokulon Mukim Sandapushnavimam Snigdaha Karnakasara Sanido. These are the words that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins his monumental Govinda Lilamrita with. Very beautiful meaning. He says that this kata, the words that I want to speak, are like a cow. And this cow wants to go to Vrindavan. But this poor cow, it's suffering on the desert of my tongue. So he prays to all the listeners, Karna Kasra Sanido, whose ears are like a lake of water, please give shelter to these words of mine. Vanchakalpadurubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'd like to begin first by speaking a little bit about reality. What a concept. We've been singing this song, Nityananda Prabhu was singing this morning, and I'll just sing the first line of it. Gauranga Karuna Koro. Always keep in mind who we are and what our real position is. That's bhakti. There's a problem, I can humbly suggest, in our movement today, that sometimes we think that putting on a show is bhakti. Because we wear our bhajan as our preaching. We think of our bhajan and our preaching as the same thing. And so we go out and we tell everybody, you should chant Hare Krishna, and I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm very happy with it. And we present what's inside is outside, and we mix everything up. But Narottam Das Thakur, he's saying that we should begin with reality. And reality means that Gauranga Karuna Koro Dinahina Jana. I'm a Dinahina. I'm very fallen, and I don't have anything. What is the reality? What is the truth? We're sitting here in front of you, in front of Dhanadhara Maharaj, and Gunagari Maharaj is here somewhere, and so many senior devotees. If I tell you some lie, if I try to pretend before all of you, it'll be a very bad thing. Just a few years ago, I was doing all terrible things in America, and somehow I came to the temple in Los Angeles, and I was there for a few weeks or something, and then one day someone said, why don't you give a class? And we gave a class, and somebody said, wow, that's really good. You should give more class. And we gave another class, and then somebody said, wow, he's practically an incarnation. And you should give more and more class. And you're so... And meanwhile, I'm still the same rotten person that I always was. And now today, I'm in front of all of you. It's a very bad thing if we try to pretend. My Guru Maharaj, though, he gave some hope in this. We have a book we're just making. Maharaj mentioned it this morning, called When Good Fortune Arises. It's a very appropriate title. We want good fortune to arise within our own life and as a society. And for that good fortune to arise, it means that we have to be honest with ourselves, as gruesome a task as that is. and we have to cry to Krishna, and we have to understand our position. My spiritual master, he spoke about how the real speaker is the guru who is self-realized, and his words are Shabda Brahma, their transcendental sound. So, what is the value of our speaking? He spoke about this. We have a section in the book called Teachings, and there's about 20 different subjects within that part of the book, one of which is the disciple, and he speaks about the kirtan of the disciple. He said the disciple's duty is only to hear from the lips of guru. That's the only duty of a disciple, is to hear. When the guru says, now you go and speak, do kirtan, but that's my only duty is to hear. But the guru says, now you go and speak. Then the disciple goes out and does kirtan. And what kirtan? What will he speak? He'll only speak what he's heard from his guru. He just repeats it. That's kirtan. In other words, kirtan is another name for hearing. Kirtan is another name for shravan. Because we're repeating what we've heard, and it doesn't belong to us. What I've heard, that I shall speak. I'll repeat what my Gurudev has said. I'm just repeating what has been received by me by the mercy of Guru. He says, Bhagavan descends in the form of words, Krishna Katha, because Krishna and his Krishna Katha are non-different. So Krishna descends in the form of this Katha, and the hearing of Krishna Katha is eternal. In other words, this sishyatva, discipleship, is eternal because one who hears is a disciple. The disciple hears, he does shravanam. And the guru does kirtan, he speaks. So the guru's kirtan is eternal and the sishya's hearing is eternal. I am eternally the servant, disciple of my guru. So that's our position. And it's okay. We have some right to do kirtan, because our guru told us we have some right to speak. But we should remember who we are. If we start becoming so proud, then punar mushika bhav, we become a little mouse again. We start thinking we're such a big, big person. So to come together in an assembly of devotees like this is a very, very special thing. It's a very, very wonderful thing. It's such an opportunity. In this regard, I wanted to tell all of you a very amazing story about a devotee whose name was Radharaman Ghosh. You may have heard of the Barampur edition of the Bhagavatam. If there's any Bengali devotees here, it's a very famous edition of the Bhagavatam. We have a copy in our library. Someone gifted us. But before that, I was trying to buy one, and you can't touch it for less than probably 1 lakh of rupees today. It's a very rare, very first-class edition of the Bhagavatam. And there's a very interesting story how that edition of the Bhagavatam came about, and it has a lot to do with this Sangha that we have today. Radharaman Ghosh was a very educated, intelligent person who's growing up in Kolkata, and he became disgusted with material life, and later he moved to Braj. This was less than 200 years ago. Very contemporary kind of story. So he was doing his japa every day, and he was wandering around in the forest of Vrindavan. And one day, he heard some sound. And he went over in the direction of the sound, and he found there was a sadhu sitting by himself in the middle of the forest, reading the Bhagavatam to a tree. It's a strange-sounding thing, isn't it? So Radharaman Ghosh said, this is a little unusual. So he was very quiet, and he sat down behind the sadhu, and just listen to the Bhagavatam. And then when the sadhu finished, he quietly got up and left. Came back the next day, found he was still continuing. So every day, Radharaman Ghosh kept coming. And one day he made a little noise. And the sadhu turned, oh, come, come. Sit here. He said, I'm speaking the Bhagavatam to Krishna. They were sitting in front of a tamal tree. You know, a tamal tree is the blackest tree in Vrindavan. I'm speaking the Bhagavatam for Krishna. You can be the second listener. Yes? So he sat there, and every day he was coming, and that sadhu spoke the entire Bhagavatam, up to the final 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. And on the last day, in the last verse of the Bhagavatam, when it was finished being recited, suddenly an amazing thing happened. That tamal tree burst open. And there was an intense aura there inside the tree. And Radharaman Ghosh saw standing there in the tree with his flute pressed to his lips, with a smile on his face, was Sri Krishna, looking at him in a very bewitching way. And Radharaman Ghosh fell unconscious on the ground. It was a good Bhagavatam class. So, when he regained external consciousness sometime later, he found that he was laying with his head on the lap of that sadhu. And Radharaman Ghosh began crying. He got up and offered pranams to that sadhu, Maharaj. By your mercy, what I've gotten, thank you so much. And what can I do? And that sadhu then told him, now you speak Bhagavatam. Yes, Guru Maharaj. What should I do? Where should I? He said, you can speak Bhagavatam anywhere you like. Because Krishna always comes running wherever the Bhagavatam is being spoken. And he told him, it doesn't matter, you don't have to sit in front of the tree, or whatever, you can speak it anywhere. It's described in the Skanda Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam Shastram Yatra Bhagavatar Yada Kirtyate Shriyate Chapi Shri Krishna Tatra Nishchitam. Listen to this. This indirectly is speaking about Vaishnav Sangha. Wherever and whenever devotees of the Lord come together and they recite and they listen to the Bhagavatam, there for certain, Sri Krishna is present. And you may wonder, does he come by himself? No, he doesn't come alone. Srimad Bhagavatam yatra shlokam shlokardam evacha tatrapi bhagavan krishna balavabir virajate. Wherever a single verse or even half a verse, shlokardam, of the Bhagavatam is spoken, Krishna immediately comes there along with the gopis. So this is Vaishnav Sangha. It's such a special thing. And it's not that the speaker is special. It's not that the speaker feels he's such a big person. It's not that the listeners are special. They don't think themselves so special either. But the katha is very special. If we repeat what we've heard from that Niragvakta, in the language of Jiva Goswami, that speaker of the Bhagavatam, who has no material desires, who's speaking Shabda Brahma. And the disciple is just repeating what he's heard from his Gurudev. This is very important. We see sometimes in our society a very sad thing, that sometimes devotees who have been in our mission for a long time, they fall down and go away. Why is that? And how can we stop that? We have to learn Parasparanu Katanam Pavanam Bhagavad Yasaha. 11th canto of the Bhagavatam describes we should learn how to associate with devotees by coming together and hearing Krishna Katha. Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, on the 30th of April 1970, he spoke a very interesting thing in his class. Listen carefully. He said on the second platform, Madhyamadikari, we should not only love God, but we should make friends with the devotees who are loving God. That is society. Our society is devotees. We should not only practice to love God, but we should make friendship and love the devotees also. This is a very, very important principle. We have to reside our love somewhere. We should give that love. We should learn to give that love to the devotees. This point is further brought out in the Satvata Tantra, a very special literature which speaks all about Prem Bhakti and Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. It's often quoted by Rupa Goswami and our acharyas. In the fourth chapter, text 95, it says, Tatapi nirguna yecha, yecha bhagavata mataha, teshi prittir mahabhaga duskariti mayochita. To have love for the devotees who are beyond the modes of nature is a great good fortune that's very difficult to attain. And now I'll describe the nature of that love. What is the nature of loving devotees? Loving devotees doesn't mean, hey Prabhu, did you hear what happened to this person? That Swami, man, they caught him with this girl. This thing happened. Or doesn't mean going to some movie together. That's not how we associate with devotees. Satpatatantra describes Hari Lila Sutochara Pareshu Satatamtvaya Karya Pritistadva Harir Yata Bhakti Nanashyati. Yata Bhakti Nanashyati. Your bhakti will never be destroyed. You won't fall down. This is a secret to how we can avoid falling down and having problems. Hari Lila Sutochara Pareshu Satatam Tvaya Kaya Pritis Tavaharir. We should always love devotees who are speaking Krishna Katha and hearing Krishna Katha, doing kirtan, who are taking prasadam. We should love them with all of our heart. Not like it used to be. I remember 20, 30 years ago when we joined, the devotees thought that that's Maya Prabhu. You're not supposed to love, you shouldn't love your wife, that's very bad. Shouldn't love your husband. You're not even supposed to love your children. Devotees actually thought like that. It's a kind of bestiality. It's not human life. We should love, but we should learn the science of love. The science of love means we should have friends. What's his name? Tamal Krishna Maharaj's sannyasi friend who left in Vishnujan Maharaj. Vishnujan Maharaj, he used to preach to the brahmacharis. He said, you should develop loving relationships with each other. Because if you don't learn to love the other brahmacharis, then you're going to end up getting a wife. And the sannyasi said, love the sannyasis. There has to be love. But that love should be based on Krishna, should be based on Krishna Katha. So, this is what I love about coming to an association like this. The devotees, when everything is based on Hari Katha, because you're not coming here for information. Maharaj is making sure of that, because we have more kirtan. The devotees are coming here for something from the heart. And we want to take part in that. Because this will protect us, this will protect our bhakti. So, Dhanadhar Maharaj asked me if we would speak a story tonight that we've heard from our revered spiritual master. This is a very special story. I've done some research on the source of this story before we tell this story. It's a rather mysterious source. It seems that Gorgavinda Maharaj was the first person to ever speak this thing in English, as far as I can ascertain. And the first time he did that, I had the good fortune of being there. That was in Tawako, New Jersey. And then a week later, he spoke it again in Los Angeles. And then a few weeks later, I had the good opportunity to be with him again in Bhubaneswar, and he spoke it for a third time. And then I went with him to Europe as his servant, and I had the good opportunity to hear the fourth time he spoke it. And he spoke the same story when he left his body. This is a katha that he was speaking at that time. Some devotees had come to him and were asking him why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri. It's described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Shiradaya Pranaya Mahima Kiddusovanayaiva Swadyo Yenad Bhuta Madhurima Kiddusova Madhya Sokyam Chashya Mananabhava Da Kiddusam Viti Yotlobhat Tadbhavaja Samajani Sachi Garba Sindhu Harindu. That, like the moon coming from the ocean, the son of Mother Sachi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has risen from her womb. He's Krishna with three unfulfilled desires. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidriso. What is a Pranaya Mahima? The glory of Radharani's love. Sokyam Chashaman and Abhavata Kidrisam. What is the nature of her happiness that she gets from that love? And what is it that she tastes? What kind of thing does she see in me that she's getting so much happiness? So those three desires were fulfilled here in Jagannath Puri. Hare Krishna. Okay. Put this like this. Okay. Tikachi? Sorry. Little drama. Just when these kind of things happen, you just close your eyes and pretend that you're in India. Mm-hmm.
into the...
Krishna does these kind of things to help us remember who we are and not to take ourselves too seriously. So this story, it seems that it comes from a very little known book called Mahabhav Prakash by a devotee whose name is Kanai Kuntia. Kanai Kuntia was one of the associates of Mahaprabhu. He's mentioned several times in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He lived here in Jagannath Puri. He was the head priest in the Jagannath Mandir. And he wrote a book, which in that book, we have a portion of it. We have one chapter of it, and there's some verses and words missing even in that chapter. But he says there that he heard this thing from Ramananda Roy. And the book seems to be about the Mahabhav Prakash, or the ecstatic manifestation of the Lord. So our theory is that this story is from that book. It's known by some savants and some scholars here in Orissa, but outside of that, we've not seen or heard about it before. So he told this story in answer to this question: why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come here to Puri? If he's Krishna in the mood of Radha, then why didn't he go to Vrindavan? What is Radharani's mood toward the Dham? My Guru Maharaj said, if you want to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you should understand Srimati Radharani. So what is Radharani's mood toward the Dham? Yatra Vrindavanam nasti, yatra no gobadan nasti, yatra no jamanan nadi, tatra ne mana sukha. Krishna's Radharani says this in Garga Sanhita. She says, I have no mana sukha, no happiness, for these three things are not present. The Vrindavan forest, the Govardhan Hill, and the Jamuna River. So then, if Krishna's Mahaprabhu is in her mood, why did he come here? And why is it that his three desires were fulfilled in this place? So we may try to answer that question in a number of ways over the next few days in our katas, but we'd like to give the answer that our revered spiritual master gave first. And this story also is a story about the form of Lord Jagannath and why it is he has such a strange form. I remember I first met the devotees, I think in like 1978. But in 1976 or 1977, I found I was walking on the street somewhere in San Jose, California, and I found a strange badge, a button on the ground, which I picked up. I was looking at it. It looked like something from Mars or something. It had some face on it with two big eyes and a big smile. And I couldn't figure out, what is that? But it just seemed kind of special to me. And I had kind of an altar of special things in my room. So I put that badge there in my altar, not knowing that was the face of Lord Jagannath. And then later when I started coming, I was a street musician at that time, traveling around in America. And we were in New Orleans, and we started going to the temple there because I was a vegetarian, and we heard the Hare Krishnas have good food. It's true. And we were going to the temple there, but be careful if you go to their temple. And I remember seeing the deities, and I saw Radha Krishna in the center. I thought, okay, that's God, and he's playing flute, and he's got his girlfriend with him. Okay. And there's these other two guys on the other side, and they're both dancing with their arms in the air, and okay, I can handle that. And then there's the other three personalities on the right. Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. And I remember thinking, this is just, who are these persons? So the forms of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra are very unusual forms. Even amongst other Vaishnavas, the Sri Vaishnavas or the Madhva Vaishnavas, who can understand this form of Lord Jagannath? So this story speaks something about that, and it also speaks something about the first Ratha Yatra. So Krishna says, Yeyatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. This is the nature of love. He always reciprocates. Don't think that love is one-sided. Krishna was feeling separation from the gopis as the gopis were feeling separation from him. We hear about the gopis in Vrindavan and the Brijbasis, and how after Krishna had left, they were crying and crying in separation. And what about Krishna? Mm-hmm. Krishna was there in Dwarka. Mm-hmm. And just as the gopis were crying for Krishna, it's also described that Krishna, he was crying for them. This is described in a very beautiful Bengali book called Vrindavan Lilamrita, which we'll sing a couple lines from, and you can chant Hare Krishna in response. It's said there that Krishna, sometimes he was in the inner chambers with Rukmini and Satyabhama, and they were with Krishna. But sometimes when he was with them, something strange would happen to Krishna. Satata bihare Krishna edon hara sange Radhika vichere murcha preme ratarange Hare Krishna. Sometimes Krishna's there with his queens in Dwarka and he's reciprocating with them, having some pastimes, and then all of a sudden Krishna would suddenly faint and fall to the ground, remembering Srimati Radharani. Achyandani magna kabu korai palam kabu radha radha boli kore anta Hare Krishna. Sometimes Krishna, he would become delirious, in ecstasy. And then suddenly he would come back to external consciousness and he would just start calling out, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Kabu mora kore rahe bahe asuda Achanda sudito hai sadvi kalika Hare Krishna. Sometimes Krishna would be quiet. And sometimes, Ashudash, sometimes he would suddenly start crying and crying. Atyanta sudipto hai satvika vikar. And all the different symptoms of asti satvikara bhav, of ecstasy, would erupt on his body. And Rukmini and Satyabhama, they're thinking, who is this Radhe Radhe, Gopi Gopi? What is our husband saying? Sometimes Krishna, in the middle of the night, while he's lying there on his pillow, he would begin crying. And his whole pillow would become soaking wet. Sometimes in the middle of the night, in his sleep, he would start pulling on the garments of one of his wives and saying, Lalita, Vishakha, why are you angry with me? And that queen is thinking, who is this Lalita? Who is this Vishakha? Huh? And so they ask Krishna, what's going on? What is this? Who you have love for? Who is this person you have such love? They asked him a number of times and Krishna was quiet. And finally Krishna began to speak to them about the glorious devotees of Vrindavan. So our Guru Maharaj said that one day Krishna was in Dwarka and thinking about the Brijbasis and Srimati Radharani, and feeling intense separation, suddenly Krishna fell to the ground unconscious. And word very quickly spread throughout Dwarka, and all the devotees came there. What's happening? What happened to Krishna? And they came and they were trying different things, but no one could bring him back to external consciousness. Finally, there was a small group of intimate devotees. Uddhava was there, Narad Muni, Subhadra, and Balaram. And they began to discuss amongst themselves what they could do to bring him back to external consciousness. And Narad Muni, who was a great devotee, he said, I know the problem and I know the solution. Krishna is feeling separation from Vrindavan. The solution is to bring him back to external consciousness. Huh? I have my Veena, And I'll sing some Braj Leela Kahani, some pastimes of Braj on my Veena. And then Krishna will regain external consciousness. Everyone said, very good. So do that. Narada said, but you don't understand. There's a problem. What's the problem? If we do that, Krishna's going to want to return to Vrindavan immediately. We'll call for Daruka and his chariot, Nandi Ghosh. Chariot will come, no problem, and Krishna can return to Vrindavan. Narada Muni said, no, you don't understand. If Krishna returns to Vrindavan now, I can't say what will happen to him. Because the condition of the Brijbasis is so precarious. They're barely alive in separation from Krishna. And if Krishna sees their condition, I don't know what's going to happen to him. Somebody has to go ahead to inform them that Krishna is coming. Then they'll get their life back. And then when Krishna arrives, he'll see that they're all okay. So the devotee said, very good. Uddhava, you should go. Uddhava is a very dear devotee of Krishna. Krishna sent him previously from Mathura to return to Braj, and he went to the place known as Uddhavakeri, near to Nandagaon. And he spoke to Srimati Radharani, and Radharani replied, that's the Brahmara Gita, or the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Previously, Uddhava brought that message of love. So they said, you should do this again. You should go and tell them Krishna's returning. Uddhava said, I can't go. Previously, I tried. I went there. And I tried to console Nandan Yashoda. Uddhava, our Guru Maharaj said, he's Brihaspati Sishya. He's a disciple of Brihaspati. He's a very Gyani Guru. He knows so much, Uddhava. And he's a very expert counselor. He gives counseling to so many different people, and he tells them, don't cry, be peaceful, everything's okay. He said, but when I went to see Nanda in Yashoda, I tried to tell them, don't cry. But it wasn't right. In my heart, I was feeling like telling them, cry more, cry more. And whatever I would try to tell them, it didn't work. I tried to console the gopis, but whatever I said, it didn't work. They only wanted to hear one thing. And so I told them that one thing. Krishna's going to return. Krishna's going to return very soon. That's all they wanted to hear. But Uddhava said, Krishna never returned. And if I go back and tell them, now he's coming, they're going to say, you're a liar, Uddhava. They won't listen to me. So I can't go. So the devotees, and they said, Balaram, you're Dauji, you're the older brother, you should go. You speak this, they'll believe you. Balaram was quiet. And he hung his head down. He said, I also can't go. Previously, Krishna, he sent me to Vrindavan, also with a message of love. And I went there and I tried to console Nanda and Yashoda. I spoke to the gopis and Radharani, and I tried to console them, but nothing worked. They only wanted to hear one thing. And I also told them that Krishna's going to return. And then I came back and I told Krishna, Kanu, you have to go back. They're going to die. They can't live without you. And Balaram, he said, I don't understand. Previously, Krishna, he always listened to me. He's my younger brother. He always treated me as a Borobai, older brother, and he would always listen. But this time, he didn't say anything. And he didn't return to Vrindavan. If I go back now, they also won't believe me, and they'll accuse me of being a liar. So I can't go. At that time, Subhadra, she stepped forward and she said, I'll go. She said, everyone knows men are crooked. But ladies are very simple. I'll go there and I'll sit on Mother Yashoda's lap and I'll take my cloth and wipe away her tears from her eyes. And I'll tell her, your Gopal is returning. He's coming. Just now he's on his way. Some kings have stopped him on the way and they're offering some presentations and gifts. He's coming just now. So everyone said, very good idea. Balaram became very excited. I'll also go with Subhadra. So they called Taladvaj. That's Balaram's chariot. And they called Padmadvaj, Subhadra's chariot. And the two of them set out for Vrindavan. This is Rathyatra. Rathyatra here in Jagannath Puri, there's three chariots. The first chariot is called Taladvaj. And Balaram rides in it. Balaram goes first. The second chariot is Padmadvaj. And Subhadra rides on that. And the third chariot is occupied by Kaliya, the black one, Jagannath. He comes last. So Balaram and Subhadra, they set out for Vrindavan, going very, very fast. They were so very excited to reach Vrindavan and again see the Brijbasis. When they arrived there, they both leaped off their chariots and they began to run to see the devotees. But when they saw the devotees, Balaram and Subhadra stopped. We can't imagine the condition of the residents of Vrindavan in separation from Krishna. It's described that after Krishna left Vrindavan, some poets say that Mother Yashoda simply stood there, stunned like a statue, staring in the direction where Akura had taken Krishna away and crying. Mother Yashoda's stove had cobwebs all over it because she'd stopped cooking. All the residents of Vrindavan had stopped eating. Even the animals, the cows, the deer, the dogs, the birds, all the residents of Vrindavan were suffering in separation from Krishna. The grass was drying up. The Jamuna River was flowing backwards. Giriraj was shrinking even faster. And the gopis of Vrindavan had become so thin and wasted away in their intense vipralambajvara, their fever of separation from Krishna, that is described that the rings on their little fingers become bangles on their wrists. So Balaram and Subhadra jumped off their chariots and run with ecstasy to see the Brijbasis. And that's what greeted them. A scene they could never imagine. When Balaram and Subhadra... just pretend that you're in India.
Okay.
When Balaram and Subhadra saw that situation... Can you hear me in the back okay?
Yeah.
All right. When they saw that situation there in Vrindavan, it pierced their hearts. But Balaram and Subhadra, they're different than ourselves. There is no difference between the deha and the dehi, the body and themselves. When a great devotee experiences some ecstasy internally, it's known as astasatvikara bhav. It manifests on the outside of his body in the form of different ecstatic symptoms. But in the case of Balaram and Subhadra, there's no outside and inside. It's both the same. They're absolute. So when they saw the condition of the residents in Vrindavan, something amazing happened to them. And their eyes became very big. And a big smile came on their face. Their hands and legs shrunk into their body. And they fell to the ground unconscious in a form known as Mahabhav Prakash, the form of great ecstasy. And that's the form of Balaram and Subhadra that we see here in the temple of Jagannath in Puri. So meanwhile, back in Vrindavan, Narad Muni, he picked up his veena and he began to sing some songs about the pastimes of Vrindavan. sang like this, suddenly Krishna jumped up. And immediately his hand went to his belt. And he started feeling around his belt, and he had a puzzled look on his face. And Krishna said, "Where's my vamsi? Where's my flute?" Those gopis must have stolen it again. And then he turned and he said, "Narad Muni, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? Uddhava, you're here also. What are you doing here?" And they had to tell him, "Krishna, you're not in Vrindavan. You're in Dwarka. You left Vrindavan." When Krishna heard that, Krishna began crying, "I must return, I must return, I must return." He said, "Yes, yes, Daruka is here, your chariot driver. Nandi Ghosh, your chariot is here. Everything is ready. You can return to Vrindavan." And so Krishna then began to make his way to the chariot. But Krishna was drunk. For those of you who have heard from your temple presidents or authorities that you should follow four regulative principles, this may come as a bit of a shock, but it's true. Krishna was intoxicated with wine, but not an ordinary wine. This wine is called Radha Madhuri, or the wine of Srimati Radharani. And he's such an intoxicated fellow, he can't even walk straight. If you don't believe me, you come here to Jagannath Puri and see the Pahandi Vijay when they bring Lord Jagannath out of the temple to bring him on his chariot. He's walking like a drunkard. He's swaying back and forth like this. And the devotees, they're holding him because Krishna has become completely intoxicated thinking about Srimati Radharani. So they brought Krishna to his chariot, and he got on that Nandi Ghosh chariot, and he set off for Vrindavan very fast. Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, in Nidivan, there, near to what today is the temple of Sri Sri Radharaman, a very terrible thing was happening. Word had spread throughout Vrindavan that Srimati Radharani was dying. It was too much for her. She could no longer tolerate the burning pangs of separation from Krishna. Her fever had reached 105, 106 degrees. She was lying with her head on the lap of Lalita Sakhi, and Vishakha was fanning her. And when all the residents of Vrindavan heard this, they came one by one to see her and to pray to her. Chandravali came there. Rupa Goswami says in Lalita Madhav that Chandravali is actually Radharani's cousin. And Chandravali, she came there and she saw the condition Radharani was in, and she began crying, "Radhe, please don't go. Some people say that I'm your competition, but it's a lie. You have no competition. The only reason sometimes Krishna would come to my kunj is because he wanted to see your loving ecstasy known as Man." When Radharani would become very angry and rebuke Krishna. There's a very beautiful song they sing about this in Gadaigiri, where Radharani, she describes that, "I no longer want to see anything black. Everything black is bad. All black men are very bad." And they said, "Radharani, what about, you have some black marks on your arms? I'll put some chandan there. What about your black sari? I won't wear that black sari anymore. You can take it. I don't want it. What about the Jamuna? The Jamuna's, I won't go to the Jamuna anymore. What about, you have black eyes and your iris? I'll put some chandan on those. What about your black hair? I'll do the same thing. What about the black night? I won't go outside at night. Everything black is very bad." And Krishna gets so much pleasure from that. So Chandravali, she told Radharani, "The only reason that Krishna would come to my Kunj is because he wanted to see your loving ecstasy of man, where you rebuke him and chastise him and tell him, go away. Please, Radharani, don't go. I'm no competition for you. And she cried. Next came Kutila, the crooked daughter of Jatila. Kutila means crooked. And she came there and she also started crying, Radhe, please don't go, I'm so sorry. I was very bad. I always criticized you. I always told everyone in Vrindavan, Radharani, she's not chaste. Always going with that black snake Krishna. Very, very bad. Not being chaste, my dear brother, Abhimanyu. Once, Kutila was telling us to Radharani, once Krishna got some fever. And they sent so many doctors to try to cure his fever. And Krishna said, none of this medicine will cure my body. Only one thing will heal me. If somebody brings me a pot of water from the Jamuna, but that person has to be a perfectly chaste lady. And the proof of her chastity will be that the water should be carried in a pot that has 1,000 holes. And if she's really a chaste lady, not one drop will come out of the pot. If you bring me that water, I'll become cured of my fever. And so everyone in Braj became very shy. Ladies want to be famous as being chaste. Who could do that thing? And Kutila said, I was very proud of my chastity. I said, I'll do it. I am very chaste. Give me that pot. And so she went there to the Jamuna and she put the pot in the water and she put it on her head. And all the water came out. And she became soaking wet. And then at that time, Kutila said, Radharani, you stepped forward and you said, let me try. And I rebuked you. Ha! You? What kind of chastity do you have? Please let me try. And you took that pot and you put that pot in the Jamuna and you said one single word, Krishna. And you took that pot and put it on your head and not one drop came out. And in that way you proved that you were supremely chaste. And this way Kutila began crying. Please, Radharani, don't go. Don't go. Next, Ayangosh, Abhimanyu. He's known as Ayangosh in Bengal and Abhimanyu in Braj. Radharani's so-called husband. It's a very big subject. Last year for Radhastami, we gave a whole katha about Ayangosh and how he gets married and what his situation is, how he marries Radharani. But he came there and he began crying. Oh, Radhe, please don't go. Please stay with us. Some people say that I'm your husband, but it's not true. I never touched you. Actually, Ayangosh is considered to be a manifestation of Krishna's shadow. He's there to add some drama, some rasa to the whole pastime. And he cried and told her, I never touched you, Radhai. Please be kind. Please don't go. And this way, all the residents in Vrindavan had been coming there and crying and crying and begging Radharani not to leave her body in separation from Krishna. So then suddenly, Krishna arrived at Vrindavan on his chariot, Nandi Ghosh. And he arrived there in Nidivan, and Krishna jumped off of his chariot and he ran to see Srimati Radharani. And then he stopped. He saw the condition that Srimati Radharani was in. She was lying there, dying in separation from him. When he saw that condition of Radharani, which was a manifestation of her intense Madanakya Mahabhav, the last limit of ecstatic love for Krishna. When Krishna saw that, he became stunned in ecstasy. And suddenly an amazing thing happened to him. His eyes became very big. His hands and legs shrunk into his body, and a very big smile came on his face. And he fell over on the ground. He manifested this form, we see, of Lord Jagannath, who is known as Mahabhav Prakash, or the manifestation of the greatest ecstasy of love and separation. So, as my Guru Maharaj said, there was union. But it was a very strange union. Radharani's lying unconscious in a dying condition, and Krishna, he's lying on the ground unconscious as Lord Jagannath. Brinda Devi is very expert. She knew exactly what to do. So she ordered that a breeze carry the scent of Krishna's body. And that breeze brought the scent of Krishna's body to the nose of Srimati Radharani. And Radharani regained her external consciousness. Her eyes opened. But Krishna was still lying unconscious. So then Lalita knew the medicine, or Vishakha knew the medicine for Krishna. And Vishakha went to Krishna and she whispered into Krishna's ear, Radhe, Radhe. And then suddenly Krishna regained external consciousness. And as my Guru Maharaj said, it was eye-to-eye union there in Nidivan. And then Krishna, he told Srimati Radharani that to honor this pastime, to honor the love of the residents of Vrindavan, I'll always keep this form of Jagannath, who is known as Radha Viraha Vidura Rup, or the embodiment of separation from Radharani. If separation from Radharani could manifest a form, that form is Lord Jagannath. And you'll also be there in your form as Krishna Viraha Vidura Rup, the embodiment of separation from Krishna. If separation from Krishna can manifest a form, that form is a form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Internally he's Krishna, but externally Radha is there, in the form of the complexion and in the form of the emotions. So these two opposites, Radha Viraha Vidura Rup and Krishna Viraha Vidura Rup, the embodiment of separation from Krishna, from Radha, and the embodiment of separation from Krishna, they have, my Guru Maharaj called, a strange meeting here in Jagannath Puri Dham, which is known as Vipralamba Ketra, or the place of separation. And therefore Lord Jagannath, he's known as Madhurja Rasa Ganayiti Murti, the condensed form of conjugal mellow. He's known as Mahabhav Prakash Jagannath, the highest form of Krishna. And therefore it's described in the Jagannath Ashtakam, Pare Brahma Pira Kuvalaya Dolot Fula Nayano Nibasi Nilado Nahita Charano Nanta Shirasi Rasanandi Radha Sarasa Vapura Lingana Suko Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. Bolo. Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. This is a song that most all of you know a few words of. It. Just sing a few lines. Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, Jai Vrindavan. Twice we sing Jai Vrindavan. Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna. We have 10 minutes. Does anybody have any questions, comments? Prabhuji, please. Can you run somewhere and get some glue? Otherwise, we're not going to have this later. Are there any questions or comments from anyone? Jagadatman Prabhu? Is there another mic? Jagadatma Prabhu? Wait. He has a mic. Just raise your hand.
Balaram Sabhadra are eternally there in the spiritual sky. So, within that Jagannath Puri Dham is the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya eternally manifested there, enjoying these pastimes eternally.
So you're asking if Mahaprabhu's form is also there in the spiritual world? The Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes to Narad Muni, he told Gopa Kumar, Kintupadesham hitamekametam matashrinu shri purushottamakyam Ketram taratrapi vidatyadura purvam tvayad buvidristamasti. This was in Dwarka when Gopal Kumar met Narad Muni in Dwarka. Gopal Kumar told him this. He said, "Psst, I'm going to tell you something secret." They were in the spiritual world. That Dwarka in the spiritual world. He said, "Not far from here is another place." And that other place is known as Purushottam Ketra. So this is solid evidence that Jagannath Puri Dham, Purushottam Ketra, is there in the spiritual world. But we don't hear very much about it. And we don't hear very much about the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. So this is a little confusing. Well, part of the difficulty is that we're trying to understand transcendental things with our mundane intelligence. The spiritual world doesn't work according to concepts of mundane geography and history and time. There's no such thing as time there. The most important, powerful element in the spiritual world is love. Srila Prabhupada, one time he was asked by some devotee that, are there demons in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada gave a very interesting answer. He said, no, but there's rumors of them. In other words, the mood is there. So I can't comment in a shastric way on your question and say that in such and such literature it says that Jagannath Puri is there in the spiritual world, other than this reference in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I can't give any scriptural reference about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there, but we can give this point, that they're present there in the form of bhav. This is a very, very deep, significant thing. Raise your hand. Has anyone here read Lalita Madhav? Okay, so I can't really say a lot about that book here because you don't know very much about it. Lalita Madhav discusses how Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Dwarka. And he was missing Vrindavan so much they had another Vrindavan garden made there. And then Krishna, he was meeting with Radharani in that another Vrindavan garden. And then later on they came to find out that actually they never left Vrindavan. And Yogamaya Devi told them that you've been in Vrindavan the whole time. This has just been a dream. Your departure never happened. It's just a dream. Now this is very difficult to understand in terms of geography or history. But if you understand it in terms of love, in terms of feeling, because love and feelings are reality in the spiritual world. And that same feelings of separation, where it seems like he's in Dwarka, but he's actually not. He experiences here in Jagannath Puri Dham, this Viparlambaketu, which is not different from Vrindavan. So that mood is also there in the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, there's Nitya Milan, there's eternal union. But at least there must be some rumor. As there's rumors of demons, there must be some rumor of separation. And that's a reality in the spiritual world. That's about as high as I can fly to answer your question, Prabhuji. Prabhu? Tapumaya Prabhu? The mic is here. Okay. So they're coming to me with announcements, and I'm going to forget about the announcements. I'm not so absorbed in that right now, so I should say them right now. If you want to register for lunch prasadam tomorrow at 1 o'clock, special prasadam, it costs you 100 rupees. You have to go over to the table and sign your name, give them some money, smile at them, and they'll take your name and you can get lunch prasadam from Seshadev. And also, if anybody wants to change the tickets, they want new tickets, you can go to our Manoranjan. He's available. He's going to Bhubaneswar tomorrow if you want to do that. You can also go to the table to speak with him. Okay? Those are announcements. Question?
I have heard another version of the story of how Lord Jagannath got his form. Mm-hmm. I heard that once the Rohini Mata was discussing the past end of Vrindavan with the queen of Dwarka.
Rohini, you're right.
And then suddenly they told Subhadraji to go outside and guard the door, and then she started hearing and she got this form. So how would you appreciate this?
There's at least three different stories that we know of about the appearance of Lord Jagannath. One is the same story which is told in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's Jagannath Priyanatakam drama, which is a very traditional story in Orissa about how Vishwakarma came as a carpenter and how he carved those deities. It's a long story, but I think most of you know that story. And then there's a story we told tonight, and there's a third story which Tapamaya Prabhu is referring to. So I think perhaps your question is, how do we reconcile that it seems like there's different stories? Why not? Krishna has so many different forms. Advaita, Manada, Nandarupam, he has so many different forms, so many different pastimes, which he manifests according to the feelings of different devotees. So, Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, he says sometimes in different Dibya Yugas, Krishna performs the same pastimes, but they happen in slightly different ways. For example, a very interesting example, the Srimad Bhagavatam says that Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed by the Brahmin Sringi that he would die. And then Maharaj Parikshit, he went to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. But the Mahabharata says that he built a tower and he had all kinds of guards to protect himself from that curse. It's a long story. It seems completely different than what's in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in different Dibya Yugas, the same pastimes take place, but they take place in slightly different ways. So it's no problem. Okay?